The following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com.
I always appreciate your guys' concern regarding things going on and also your interest in new developments here. And that's kind of what we're talking about today as we introduce Marvin Green, who's the co-founder and advisor for Encore Green Environmental. Up first, Marvin, how you doing?
We're well. Beautiful city of Cheyenne, Wyoming today. All is good.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for being on. Apologize for getting to you a little bit late. Also, Neil Farringer, agronomist and founder of Farringer Agricultural Consulting. Neil, how's it going?
That's great. Thanks for having us on, Tom.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I'm going to go to you, Marvin, because you were the company that had this permit and kind of developed this process, which you call conservation by design. What is the most recent news that comes out of this process?
Well, currently we've actually taken water, oil field, or produced water. We identify it as byproduct because it's a byproduct of the operation. We've actually taken that water, gotten it permitted through the Department of Environmental Quality and Ground, applied it on about 10 or 15 acres here in outside of Pine Bluff, Wyoming. Of course, kudos and credit for everything. A lot of what we do has to go to Neil because Neil had done a tremendous amount of research during the coal bed methane days, and there were some issues and concerns that came out of that, but Neil was able to, from an agronomy standpoint and a scientific standpoint, reevaluate and redesign so that we could partner with Conservation by Design. And we're no longer talking about doing it. We're actually doing it. And so that's probably the best accomplishment right this minute.
Marvin Nash, I apologize. Marvin Nash of Encore Green Environmental. Neil, just respond to that. This process that you had been, that inspired you quite a while ago, and I'm sure what you saw in Pine Bluffs, Wyoming was very encouraging.
Yes, and Marvin touched on the fact that, you know, this is science-based, really science-based, and it's conservationism. You know, it's agriculture, but we are taking a byproduct, as Marvin mentioned, and turning it into a resource. And that really excites me when we can do that. Instead of, in this case, this byproduct water is jammed into the ground in injection wells. And so now we're able to take a high percentage of this water, process it, and make it so that we can irrigate the land with. And this is not, this is completely different than the coal bed methane days when we just took the raw water, put it on the ground, then we put amendments. Here we're going to process the water, end up with a super concentrate to be injected, and then the rest of the water, the bulk of the water, will be put on the land to increase vegetation. And a lot of this will be out on rangelands.
That's real key here, too, because you're taking water where it's not needed and putting it where it is needed. We'll come on back and explore more here on Voices.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Kind of a simple concept, a byproduct into a resource. Turning a byproduct of production into a resource for further production. I think that's the proverbial win-win. If you're looking for one, this is it. It involves the environment, it involves science, it involves agriculture, it involves energy. We're talking about it here today. Marvin Nash is with us, co-founder and advisor for Encore Green Environmental. They're the group that received a permit to apply this application most recently in Pine Bluffs, Wyoming. We'll talk about the significance of that with Marvin. Neil Farringer is with us, an agronomist and founder of Farringer Agricultural Consulting. He's, I guess, as Marvin would say, kind of the brains behind this process. He's been working on this for quite a while. And thank you guys, again, both for being here. I appreciate that. Congratulations on this bit of a breakthrough. And I'd like to talk about how far it can go. But, Neil, I'm not sure we've really laid out what it is we're talking about here. You're taking a byproduct of the oil industry, which is there's a lot of water that comes out of the ground in the production of oil, and then you're taking that and using it for an agricultural purpose, but it's just not taking it here and putting it there. There's more science to it. So please explain.
Well, first of all, you talked about the water production, and I wasn't aware of this, but there's at least, there's 1 to maybe 5 and even up to 10 barrels of water for every barrel of oil produced. So there's a vast amount of water being produced. In Wyoming, generally they've produced 1.7 billion barrels of water per year that has to go someplace, which equals, this year it's only up to 1.2 billion barrels, but if we average 1.5 billion barrels, that's 63 billion gallons of water, which then in our processing, if we can get that down, we can recover 70%. That ends up being 135,000 acre feet of water. And if we put on 6 inches of water a year, that would cover 270,000 acres of rangeland in Wyoming. And think about how much more vegetation could be grown. So this whole thing, I'm the scientist behind it, and this is Marvin and Darlene's brainchild, so I just have been along for the ride for the last 3 years and given them some directions. They have said all along, this is about stewardship. It is stewardship of the land, soil, and air, because as we increase forage production, we put the water on, the plants grow better, and as they grow better, they carry on more photosynthesis. And as we all know from seventh grade biology, photosynthesis results in taking in carbon dioxide and putting out oxygen into the atmosphere. Then the carbon is broken down and used to make sugars in the plant, and that's used for growth in the plant, both above and below the ground. And so that which goes below the ground, particularly in perennial plants, that results in carbon storage. So we're taking carbon dioxide out of the air and putting it into the ground. So it's a great carbon sink that we can take vast amounts of carbon out of the air and put it into the soil where it's locked up. And as long as we don't disturb that, it pretty much stays there. There's some release, net release, and then there's net storage again. It oscillates from year to year. I want to stress that this is an agricultural company looking for total ecological solutions. One of the buzzwords these days is regenerative ag, and through that, soil health is being pushed through the NRCS, which is the Natural Resources Conservation Service department. And to me, as an agronomist, having practiced for 41 years now, the best way to increase soil health is if we have more water for the soil. So we have a way of taking a waste of resource water and turning it a byproduct water and turning it into a resource to grow more forage. It just, like you said, Tom, it's a win-win situation.
I'm going to get back to you on the science and the process for that. I wanted to move over quickly to Marvin Nash, who's co-founder, as you mentioned, of the Encore Green Environmental, to talk a little bit more about what you had hit on, Neil, this total ecological solution. That's the conservation by design. That's the genesis of this idea, Marvin?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm originally from South Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley. If you've ever had to burn the needles off a pear to keep the cows alive and seen it go for 12, 13 months without any rain and seen everything, blow away, or no snows and things like that, it's a part of the process. The total ecological solution is, this is a part of the process for healthy soil. And if you can get healthy soil, then you can do a lot of different things. And, we had carbon capture and cap and trade, and we had a lot of these soil science things and climate change initiatives that are, climate is always changing. And we had a lot of these initiatives, but what we did was we stepped back and said, okay, let's go back to the dirt. Let's get down and dirty with this, and let's talk about, where does this health start? And it starts with soil. And if you can get water, and with water, it's a very interesting tool in agriculture. It's not always about the volume. As Neil will explain to you, sometimes it's about the right amount at the right time. You know, you get the right amount of water on a corn crop, and you can go from 80 bushels to 100 bushels. And it may not have to be 18 inches. It may just have to be 3 inches at the right time. And so coming from an agriculture background and those kind of things, I was pretty knowledgeable of how to put the pieces together. And, you know, again, it all comes back to data, 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 science, science, science. But for our company, we figured out how to logistically coordinate all of the data. We have AgWater Soil Solutions, which is a database. If you tell me where a well is at, I can tell you how many barrels of water it produces a day in a year. And then I can, with Neil's help, I can do an entire water management plan for that acreage. And I can do a 3 to 5 year plan because wells usually consistently make the same amount of water. You know, what people don't understand, if you have a drought, the drought is bad, but if you're a rancher and you have cattle, you only have two things to do during a drought: sell your cows or buy hay. If you sell your cows at 800 around during a drought because there's an oversupply and you've got to replace them at 1700 around when you get ready to start back, if you don't have the cash capital to do that, what do you have to do to secure that loan? You got to put up your land. And so that there's a lot of total solutions that happen when you're able to improve soil management and grass management and those kind of things.
Marvin Nash, co-founder and advisor for Encore Green Environmental. Back to Neil Faringer. Neil, I kind of want to talk about the process or whatever else you want to launch into. I don't want to miss anything here, but as Marvin had said, it's the right kind at the right time. I suppose that's a big part of what it is that you do, Neil.
Well, yes. I went to an irrigation short course in Nebraska, and they looked at irrigating corn 1 to 6 times and then looked at the yields. And 3 well-timed irrigations produced only 2 bushel less than 6 irrigations throughout the season. So as Marvin said, timing is everything. So we're not wanting to, this is not to be a disposal project, but rather a soil health, regenerative ag type project. So the process, I want to get to that. We look at first of a water analysis. The waters are all different. For instance, we've got some water that we did a different project on and cleaned it. The conductivity was at a little bit less than 93,000 micromoles per centimeter. So the listeners are going, what does that mean? Well, currently with the low flow in the Yellowstone River, conductivity is going to be about 300 to 400 micromoles per centimeter. So the more salts that are in the water, the higher the conductivity, because they conduct electricity. So at 93,000, that's very high. A lot of it's sodium and chlorides. Then there's a measure of what's called sodium absorption ratio, or SAR. That was 123. So after we processed with high-speed distillation, conductivity went from 93,000 to 688, and the SAR dropped from 123 to 1.6. This is drinking water. This would be water similar to what they take out of the Yellowstone down at Sydney. And so, you know, they're irrigating all kinds of land with this. And there's a whole host of other parameters we have to watch. Now, at Pine Bluffs, the conductivity was about a fourth of that at 20,500, but the SAR was 279 instead of 123. When we got done processing it, we dropped the conductivity from 20,500 to 40, and the SAR was less than 1. So we are not needing to put amendments on. It will be just put the water on, and we will double-check by soil analysis. So we look at the raw water analysis. Then we match existing technology with what we need to take out of the water to get it to irrigation standards. I've looked at Texas A&M standards and other universities that they've come up with these standards. Then we do a soil screening via web soil survey, which again is NRCS on the internet, and look at the land and pick out the parcels we think that will work. And then we go out in the field, soil sample, and we take a GPS at every location where we probe and Then we look at those and we match the water and the soil together.
I can very much appreciate that process and that science behind it. There's a couple of questions I want to get to when we come on back after this break. Number one is what kind of problems this is solving for not only the oil industry but agriculture. I think that can be kind of apparent there. But also, will this increase ag production? Can you measure that? How much will it? What's the upside of this? Will there be more development opportunities? So we'll come on back and talk more as there's new science behind using a byproduct of oil drilling for what's very much needed in some semi-arid areas, water. Moves so dang fast. Marvin Nash is with us. He is with Encore Green Environmental. Neil Faringer as well, agronomist with Faringer Agricultural Consulting. We have less than 2 minutes, gentlemen. So, Neil, I kind of want to, what is left on your plate there to inform us about?
Well, as I talked about the volumes of water, 1.5 billion barrels or 63 billion gallons of water produced in Wyoming. Well, they have, this is going on in Oklahoma, the Permian Basin, which is West Texas, eastern New Mexico. But in around northern Oklahoma, they are having earth tremors from injection of this water. So, and they're really concerned about it in New Mexico, West Texas.
They're reinjecting it back into the groundwater supply. And that is supposedly causing tremors. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, they put it under high pressure. They just keep forcing it down a well, and eventually something's going to give. So if we can take that, and have a 70 to 80% yield on this produced water, well, that's just 70 or 80% of lost water we have to inject. Those wells will last longer. They won't have to push them as hard. So you were talking about, okay, so if we put the water on, and Marvin alluded this too, in the rule of thumb, if we put to grow 1 ton of alfalfa, we need 4 1/4 inches of water. The grass isn't as efficient as alfalfa. So if we put on 6 inches of water out in the rangeland, we're probably going to get at least 1,000 pounds of more grass for the cattle to graze on. So that's kind of a measuring stick there for us to look at, that if a rancher all of a sudden in this area had 1,000 to 1,500 pounds more grass, you eat half, leave half, that's just a consistent supply of grass that, as Marvin said, that in drought you either buy expensive hay or liquidate your herd, and that puts them in an economic disadvantage down the road.
I want to leave Marvin a little bit of time here for some final thoughts too. I mean, the upside of this, Marvin, is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is, and I'd encourage people to go to our website, Encore Green Environmental. We've here recently created a nonprofit called Synergies for Ecological Solutions to let people that are in California or in the city of New York or whatever that want to do something to help with soil health and help our ranchers and farmers, because our ranchers and farmers, our agriculturists, are one of the driving solutions to creating healthy atmospheres, healthy soils, and those kind of things. One of the big challenges is, like with cap and trade, we want to give a rancher or farmer $20 a ton for carbon assets or carbon capture. Well, $20 a ton by the time you pay the middleman doesn't give them anything. So check out our website, Encore Green Environmental. It's a very exciting time. Tom, thank you so much for doing this show and giving us an opportunity, Neil and I, to discuss these things. And if we can, everybody has any questions or whatever, we'll be glad to answer them. And if you ever need us to talk about it again, we'll be glad to be here.
I know we will. Thanks. Thanks for being on. Thanks for doing this work, too. And we'll circle back. That's Marvin Nash and Neil Faringer. And for Josh Rath, I'm Tom Schultz. Have a great weekend, you guys. See you Monday.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.